This is Space Kate here at the UK Space Conference in the Albert Docks in Liverpool, and I've just grabbed Patricia Mays from NanoRacks to come and talk to me about what they do. Now, first of all, I've got your business card here, and I'm looking at your title, Dream Up Director. What does that mean? Or firstly, I should say, for those who don't know, what is NanoRacks?
NanoRacks is a company based in Houston, Texas. We are about 6 years old, and we provide a commercial path for our customers to low Earth orbit, specifically the International Space Station. So Dream Up refers to the creativity that groups have when they dream up their project, and I coordinate their projects.
Now, when you say that you provide a commercial path to the space station, you're not talking about sending me up on a rocket, are you?
No, not quite yet. But we can send a project that you design and outfit it with whatever it needs, if it needs an astronaut to handle it, if it needs deployed from the station, we can do that. So mainly we handle customer hardware of all types.
And if you're sending stuff up to the space station, surely it has to be safe, because you don't want to send something up there that will kill off our crew or set something on fire. I guess there must be quite strict rules about what you can and can't do.
There are definitely strict rules. And so we comb over the project in detail, and we follow NASA standards for what can fly, what can't fly, what materials will be safe for the crew to handle, if they need to handle something that's a certain level of toxicity. We would, of course, recommend a containment level for that. Sometimes maybe it's triple bagged, you know, to keep with the goal of keeping property and life safe.
And once these projects go up there, is that it? They're up there and you'll never see them again? Or can you ever bring things back and look at the results afterwards?
Well, because downmass is at a premium, if it's possible just to deorbit the object, we will do that. However, in some investigations, it's necessary to have the physical hardware back in hand. So to accomplish this, we use SpaceX Dragon, which splashes down off the coast of California, and of course the Soyuz.
Now, I've heard from space scientists and researchers that it's actually quite hard to get stuff onto the space station. If you want to get some research up there, you probably have to do proof of concept, maybe do some parabolic flights or drop tower stuff before you develop an experiment that would fly on the ISS, because access is very limited. And yet you're telling me, we go into classrooms and then the school kids get to design something and it goes up. I mean, do they have to wait years and years before their experiments are on station as well?
No, if you brought me your flight-ready design today, you're looking at 9 months to access the station. However, we find that our PIs do want that additional time. They want to test on a drop tower or a parabolic flight, maybe multiple times. They feel like this opportunity is something that is precious and they want to get it just right. So sometimes they don't want 9 months, they want 18 months, and that's fine. We work towards their timeline.
And I mean, access like that can't really be cheap, can it?
In the world of aerospace, I would say yes, we are a bargain, and our projects start at $15,000 US and go up from there. All of our student research projects are discounted at 50%, and we do that to make sure that certain groups are not left out. It's still outside of a school's normal science budget. So what they do is they look for sponsorship, or sometimes they share a lab with other schools to keep the cost down. So they're very creative in finding their funding.
So creative in finding funding. How creative are they with their experiments as well? Can you give us any examples of things that have flown successfully?
Sure. I believe that when you give the students the constraints and the limitations, that's when the real creativity starts. And it's amazing to see how they design around that. They have some small but powerful cameras and they might strategically place them with mirrors so they get a better view of what's going on in their box. And I would say our projects they span all genres of science. So there's biological projects, there's chemistry, there's physics. Also, our customers are testing new technology. They're solving problems. They are contributing to the industry in terms of new ways to produce food, to monitor radiation. They're looking at movement of fluids in gravity. And so all pieces of these research, we believe, are a contribution.
Now, the experiments and projects that fly generally have to fit into a pretty small kind of box. Is it a CubeSat style, like 10 by 10 by 10 centimeter? That's a small box, right? Do you have ambitions for the future to be able to offer different platforms or you know, other ways of doing experiments in space?
Well, our company tends to listen closely to what the market wants. So if that is something that they did want, we would respond to that, definitely. However, they are doing very sophisticated and powerful experiments in the 10 by 10 footprint. And so we like to think that small is the new big.
And you spoke earlier about being able to do some experiments on the outside of the space station. So a bit like the Japanese Kibo module has an external platform. So is that already available or is that coming up?
Yeah, that's already available. We have launched to date over 75 cube satellites, and those go out the airlock via robotic arm, and our deployer points down and away from the station, and then upon...
That's probably sensible.
Yes, yeah. And so up on command, they are deployed. They stay in low Earth orbit anywhere from 6 to 12 months, depending on the material that they're made of, and then they disintegrate. And also planned is our NREP, which is NanoRack's external platform. It's a powered lab for that same size box, and so the science within is exposed to harsh conditions of space, and they will stay outside the station about 15 weeks before they're brought in. And there's a power source out there, so it's a good data return. You can have your data emailed to you in your office.
I mean, this all sounds great. I mean, to be honest, why bother flying your science with NASA or ESA? You could just fly a NanoRack. It's so much faster. Brilliant. But the space station's not going to be there forever. So when that's gone, is NanoRack gone?
Well, I certainly hope not. We're looking at now, 2023 at least? And our customers are already asking what is next. And that was the subject of the ISS R&D conference in Boston last week. What is next? And so there are plans for what is next. Until then, ISS is a great place to start. Customers and companies are still investing heavily in hardware going to this platform. So what is next? We don't quite know yet, but we're excited to find out.
So no plans for a NanoRack's replacement station then?
We have definitely talked about that. There are initial plans for that. We are talking to NASA about how that could work.
Well, we shall watch the space with interest. No pun intended. Thank you ever so much for your time.
Thank you, Kate.